when 1 year in solitary confinement is sounding more and more like a good option, then that means that your cup has probably run out. When you have contacted the Witness Protection Program to hide you from the people who are looking for you to do a favor for them, you know, then probably your cup has run low, all right? When you think you would like to work at KFC because it might be nice to see something more fried than you feel, that it may be time, you know, to have your cup refilled. And when you find yourself seeing the long wait in the post line as a blessing from God, then you may be running low. Your cup may be running low.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Would You Like a Refill? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Would You Like a Refill?
That I go to the gym, and I know I just don't have it, right? I mean, there might be something on my mind, or the energy level isn't there. And, you know, there's been a couple of times, man, I drove up to the parking lot and parked my car in the parking lot and got ready to get out of the car and said, man, no, it ain't happening today. You know, I just don't have it. And then there's been other times I've actually gone into the gym. I've got on the machine. It started, because I like that elliptical machine, started on the machine, said, nah, it's not there. And then I looked out the window, and the Chick-fil-A is right across the... And so I got off the machine, and was going out. Somebody said, Glaze, man, didn't I see you just come in? Yeah, man, I said, I just don't have it today. You know, it's just not there. And so, you know, there's something that's missing. You know, there's other days you can go in and you feel like, man, you could take on the world. And so, you know, when we come to these times in our life, you know, maybe you're dealing with family situations where it's just worn you out. You don't have the moisture to be able to deal with it anymore. You don't have the anointing to be able to deal with it. You know, you need to do like the slaves said. That song they sang, steal away to Jesus. You need to steal away. So some of us, there is a need for a refill. I think I have a slide. I might have went over it, but if you'll go back where it talked about when things are right. I don't know if you can, when things are right, it talked about peace and joy. And there you go. Look. See, when the containers are full, that you know, when these, and again, oh, see, let me say this, that, and I'm jumping ahead of myself, but, you know, you can answer these questions, you know, and that is asking you in the notes, and it said that they had these water pots, right, which were purifying, right? So these water pots that they had were not for wine. You know, they were water. They were filled with water that was used for cooking, that was used for washing your hands, cleaning up. They were used for purifying purposes. And so they had these little wine pouches or goblets that they would have. And so, you know, it's a big difference between that wine pouch or goblet and this big container of water. Okay, so there it goes right there. On the left is the big water pots that they use. And these water pots, according to the scripture, a firkin, it talked about a firkin, and a firkin was actually 9 gallons. And it said that each one of those water pots, and on the left are some water pots that they found that they actually used back in the first century. So when Jesus talks about them filling the water pots, these would have been the type of water pots they talked about. So a firkin was 9 gallons, and it said that each one contained, could contain 2 to 3 firkins, which would have been, you know, anywhere between 18 and 27 gallons. And there were six of them. So on the right would be, if you go back, on the right would be like the little wine pouch that they had at the wedding. So that would have been the one that was filled. Now, again, you might not be able to tell by these pictures up here, but it was a lot smaller and probably contained about a gallon or so. So I'm not sure how many of these that they had, but the fact of the matter is that whatever they had, they ran out. They ran out. So if you go back to that other slide. Now, when that container that was on the right, when there was a sufficient amount of wine, let's notice what happened. First of all, there's joy. You will say, well, where do you get that from? Look at verse 1. There's joy. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. So two times in those two verses, it uses the word marriage. This was a celebration. You know, again, these wedding marriages or feasts lasted for a week. So it was a time of joy. It was a time of celebration. So when we have sufficient enough resources in our life, guess what we have? We got joy. That when we are walking with God, can you imagine that the joy that when people started finding out that they were running, oh man, look, I'm going home, man. Yeah, I got some stuff stored at home, man. I'll go home and drink. You know, there would have been, when they found out that there was no more wine, there would have been a loss of joy. That the joy that they had wouldn't have been there. And when we are not filled with the Spirit of God, there's a lacking of joy in our life. That's why, you know, some people, you know, going through problems and they walking around, as I heard somebody say, like bulldogs baptized in lemon juice. You know, you don't have any joy. And the joy, the lack of joy, shows up on your face. So as long as there was sufficient enough supplies, there was joy. But even, notice this, that there's peace when you have sufficient enough supplies. Verse 3, and when they lacked wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Now, she should have been doing what? She should have been enjoying the feast. But now, what happened? Her peace was gone. Her peace was gone. Like she knew there's something wrong here. And when we are not filled with the Spirit of the living God, we're robbed of our peace. You know, I heard in the Calvary Road, Roy Hessian, he talks about how to tell when peace is gone. And he talks about, you know, the verse that says that we have peace with God. And he gave the illustration. And he said, think about a basketball game. And that as they're playing basketball and running up and down the court, the players are allowed to play. They just keep playing. They just keep running up and down the court. Because what? There's nothing wrong. Nobody's committed a foul. Nobody has done anything that's worthy of stopping the game. But the minute that somebody commits a foul, what does the referee do? The referee blows a whistle and the whole game is stopped. And he says that the peace of the game has been disturbed. The peace of the game has been disturbed. Where they were normally running up and down the court, everything is all right. But now they blow the whistle and the peace has been taken from the game. And he likens that to the Christian. And he says that as long as, you know, we are walking in the Spirit, you know, serving the Lord, you know, exercising the things that God wants us to do, that God just, he allows us to move freely. Why? Because we're doing things that he wants us to do. And we have peace that everything is all right. That when I'm walking along, I have a peace that everything between me and God is all right. I have a peace with myself. But the minute that something goes wrong, the great referee, the Holy Spirit, blows the whistle. And now you don't have that same feeling. You know the feeling that you had, like everything was cool, right? Everything was all right. And now the whistle, the Holy Spirit blows a whistle, and the Holy Spirit says, wait, stop, a foul has been committed. And that the peace is taken away. And the same thing at this wedding, that there was peace at this wedding until they ran short on the wine. Then it's almost like, well, we know, because we weren't at the wedding, so we don't know about all of it, but we know that there was some of the wedding that was stopped because they ran out. The joy was gone, the peace was gone, and that there was no satisfaction. You know, again, that, you know, people were probably complaining. You know how it is. You know, y'all know how it is when you go somewhere and the food is not right, or the, you know, it's, they run out of something. You know, the host comes up, oh man, this is a great event. But you go back to your table, right? Man, I can't believe that. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. So the satisfaction level was gone. But when they drank Jesus' wine, the man said, look, you saved the best for last. You know, everybody is satisfied with what you gave us. And so when the containers are full, right? There's joy, there's peace, there's satisfaction. When your container is full in your life, because you've been in the presence of God, because you spent time with God, that when your container is full in your life, there's joy, peace, and satisfaction. So I'm here to say this morning, if you don't have joy, if you don't have peace, if you don't have satisfaction, is it because maybe your container is low and you need a refill? Maybe you need a refill today. It's just like sitting at that table, right, at the restaurant, and you drink all your beverage, and the waiter comes by and says, would you like a refill? If your joy is low today, Jesus is coming by and saying, would you like a refill? If your peace is low today, Jesus is coming by and says, would you like a refill? If your satisfaction is low today, Jesus is coming by and says, would you like a refill? The need for a refill. Then we see the way to get a refill. The way to get a refill. Verse 4, Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. So we think that that's cold on the part of Jesus, right? This is his mom. You know, we had a word back in the day. Some of y'all know what I'm getting ready to say. I'm dating myself. Some of y'all know what I'm getting ready to say is that my raise, right? This was his raise. I mean, they do the same thing today, but it's amazing how you can take words and make a whole philosophy out of it, right? Right? My raise. This is the woman that raised me. And this was Jesus' raise. And he called her woman. So the first thing that we need to correct is that this was not a term of disrespect. But notice now, and this is the important part, that Jesus had just began his public ministry. And the relationship between him and his mother was getting ready to shift, right? That it was shifting from one who submitted to his mother. It was shifting to now, I'm going to be your Lord. And so the term woman was not a term of disrespect, But it was a term that would have been used of any lady at that day that you wanted to show respect to. Woman. Because Jesus uses it again. Remember in John 19, I think it was, where he tells John and Mary's there, and he says, woman, behold thy son. So it wasn't a term of disrespect. It was a term of respect for a lady, woman. The Greek word that's used, woman. And so again, he's talking about a shift in relationship. And then to even further show this shift in the relationship, he says unto her, he says, woman, in verse 4, what have I to do with thee? And actually, in the Greek, it says, what does that have to do with us? You know, the King James, you might think that he was just saying, well, what does that have to do with me? He said, what does it got to do with us? And that my hour is not yet come. Jesus says, this is not the hour that I was sent for. The hour that I was sent for is when I would die on the cross and that I would be buried and rose again. That's my hour. Remember he said later on, he said, the hour has come, right? When he talked about when he would die on the cross and rise again. And so he tells her that my hour is not yet come. Now, I'm not sure whether there was some nonverbal communication between Mary and Jesus, or if they just had, you know, you know how you say, you know, like this, you know, we're just on one page. But, I mean, you could read this and say, well, Mary just kind of just disrespected and kicked to the curb what he said. Because she goes on in the next verse and says, his mother saith unto the servants, whatever he saith unto you, do it. Whatever he says, do it. So, I mean, where did she get that from? I mean, again, you don't get that in the text. You know, you get Jesus telling her, woman, what does that have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And then the mother said, well, whatever he says, do it. So I don't know, you know, again, like this in my sanctified imagination, you know, that Jesus said, well, you know, my hour has not yet come. But somehow he communicated to Mary, you know, I got you. Right? Right? Something happened. Something happened where she told the servants, whatever he says unto you, to do it. And then in verse 6, and there were set there 6 water pots of stone. So again, we've already talked about that. The water pots were used for purifying. So that was the wash your hands, wash the utensils, clean whatever it is that they were fixing to eat. And it says that after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. So again, a firkin was 9 gallons. All right, so 2 or 3 firkins would have been 18 to 27 gallons. And there were 6 of these water pots. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. So it doesn't say if there was anything in there, if there was already water in there, but they filled them to the brim. And then in verse 8, and he saith unto them, draw some out now and bear it to the governor of the feast. So the governor of the feast, you know, he would have been the individual that was kind of, you know, like I've done a lot of weddings, and they have wedding coordinators, right? And so this governor would have been like the coordinator of the banquet, all right? And so he says, draw it out now, bear it unto the governor of the feast, and they bore it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not from where it was, but the servants who drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. And so Jesus turns this water into wine. What a powerful miracle. The fact that they put water. Can you imagine? So what's the title of our series? Encounters with God. Encounters with God. These servants, they knew they put water in these barrels. And when they dipped it out, it was wine. Are you in need of a miracle today? I mean, really, really, are you in need of a miracle today? I wish I had time to tell you all the miracles that God has worked in my life, in my family's life. I wish I had time today to tell you the miracles that I have seen here at Bethany Baptist Church. There's a couple miracles that we're trusting God for. But when you look at the man who can turn the water into wine, you don't have anything to be concerned about. You know, there's no reason to stress. If you believe that Jesus is who he said he is, there's no reason for you to stress. Lord, you got this. If you can take water. Now, you know, some of the skeptics might say, well, there was already some concentrated wine at the bottom, and then when they poured the water in, you know. No, no, no. Jesus turned this water into wine. And so how do we get a refill? If your cup is empty, how do you get a refill? First of all, you got to acknowledge the fact, Lord, I'm empty. Lord, I'm dry. Lord, in my spirit, I have nothing left to give. That as I sit here today, my spirit is empty and I don't have anything to give. You've got to acknowledge that your cup is empty. And then you got to let the divine waiter know. You say, you know, you got to let the waiter know. The waiter comes by, but you got to let yes, I would like a refill. Please give me a refill. Put a refill in my cup. You got to let them know. And so we sing the song. You got Jesus on the main line. Call him up and tell him what you want. And you know the thing? You know, we get impatient, and it might not happen in our time. And sometimes, if we don't see things happening according to our timetable, we get frustrated. You got to let God work this thing out. You just let the divine waiter know that your cup is empty. And then take your cup and hold it up to the Lord and say, Lord, fill my cup. Lord, fill my cup. And then let me just close real quick with this, and that is the taste of the refill. What is the taste of the refill? First of all, it's better than the first. It's better than the first. You know, my life before Christ, I was drinking from all kind of the wrong cups. And I thought that these cups taste good. And I was like these folks here, you know, at this wedding. They were drinking wine, and they thought that that was the best. Right? Right? They thought it was the best. But when Jesus turned the water into wine, they found out, man, what we were drinking before was nothing. What we drank before was nothing. But now, we have the best. And then I like what the psalmist said. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. As we close today and before Dr. Jones comes back, I want to share a video with you. It's a song that is a prayer. And as you listen to this, let this be your prayer unto the Lord. Let this be your prayer. As you sit there today, let this be your prayer to the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of It's Showtime. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Would You Like a Refill? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, Would You Like a Refill? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Would You Like a Refill? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.